Six, ladies and gentlemen, five, prepare four, for liftoff.
Hey, listeners. Welcome back to Liftoff by Bottle Rocket. I'm Tony Dosa.
And I'm Peter Clayman.
Usually, whenever we introduce the guest, we do this bio, we bury the lead, and then we say, and here they are, so-and-so. However, this is going to be a little bit different here because I'm not going to bury it, right? He's a former Googler, which is how you have to start all of these things when somebody worked at Google. Then he jumped over and he was at Case Tabs as the chief growth officer. They were acquired by Bain. And now he's the senior vice president of marketing and strategy at HST Pathways. Little known fact, this guy, Raphael Akinsipi, used to work with Peter and I. And I just a little anecdote, right? There are people that have come and gone from Bottle Rocket. Amazing people, smart people. You're the only one that left, that when you left the day of, I was like, I have to embrace him because I'm going to miss this guy so much. I would work with you anywhere to the ends of the earth. Super talented, Raphael Akinsipi. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thank you guys for having me. You're too kind. I feel like the listeners are going to expect me to be far too impressive, and I feel like you built me up a bit there, but I appreciate the kind words.
Well, they're used to listening to us, and the bar is set so low with Peter and I. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm the co-host now, so to set expectations, it's, you know, this is the bar.
Anywho, dude, it's been a minute. It's been 2 years, actually, right?
Yeah.
And you've done some incredible growth in these 2 years, stuff that people can only dream of.
No, it's been a kind of a whirlwind of a 2 years. I think, you know, with all the things going on in the world, it's been dynamic for all of us. And, you know, over the past 2 years since I had left Bottle Rocket, I've had the opportunity to work on some really exciting things and kind of really chase some of my goals and my passions. And I feel like I've been really fortunate, but it was also a part of kind of a plan that I've been working on. It's kind of nice having some of the things come together.
Well, let's dig into that, because I think, you know, many of us have plans that we always keep in our head and we struggle to operationalize in our own unique ways. We'd love to talk today just about what is your plan? How do you manage your own self-growth?
Yeah. So, I'd love to kind of dive into it there. You know, for myself, it's been something that since I was young, there's kind of been a general trajectory. I'd love to be one of those people to come on here and be like, you know, I've had this clear, you know, 10-year plan, 5-year plan, and everything's been perfectly planned out. And it hasn't necessarily been that, but I think I've kind of kept a framework in place for what I call career acceleration. And, you know, it's been a goal of mine to try and reach some of these professional goals fairly quickly, just so I can have the impact that I want to have over a short window of time. So, you know, I can kind of dive into how I look at my career acceleration. But for your listeners, kind of as background, I know, you know, Tony gave some of the perspective on where I've been, but I'll kind of jump in on my career kind of post Bottle Rocket. So, you know, I left Bottle Rocket to Google, where I was working as a product manager within the Google Ads team. So got to work on a lot of really exciting projects there that impacted some of our kind of what we call our global accounts. So customers like Macy's and Nike that have kind of huge investments with Google Ads. So it was awesome to work on a lot of that. Got to see that space and lead some projects there. And kind of an interesting story of how it all kind of happened. While I was working at Google, you know, I'm an avid basketball player, and I was playing basketball one day at the gym near my house, this LA Fitness, and I'm playing and this guy throws me an alley-oop. So I catch it, I punch the alley-oop, and you know, after the game we're talking, and this is a totally true story. People always kind of laugh when I tell it, but you know, we're talking after the game, and you know, I tell him I work down the street at Google, and he tells me how he's the CFO of this healthcare company. So we start chatting, and you know, one of the things I've been doing throughout my career is like kind of all the things I've learned from product management, consulting, like just a variety of things. I keep an ongoing kind of deck and folder for myself of just like strategies that I've learned. So that's opened me up to a lot of opportunities to kind of do some strategy consulting for people on the side. So we started talking and then we decided to have lunch. So at lunch, he was telling me all about his company called Case Tabs. And, you know, for just background, Case Tabs is a surgery scheduling application. So if you think about kind of the old school way that a lot of this would take place, a surgeon's like, hey, we need to have a, you know, we need to have an ACL surgery, you know, this week. Can you call the hospital or the surgery center and see if we can get a spot there for Thursday at 5? And, you know, their admins would pull up like a faxed document that they would look through and see, oh, is this available? With Case Tabs, it kind of gave them almost an Expedia style interface to be able to see, hey, I want to book a time at this surgery center or hospital and kind of get that surgery scheduled. So that's a little background on Case Tabs. I had lunch with Mike Nolan, the CFO of Case Tabs, and we started talking more and more about the company and just kind of all the things that they had going. And I started talking about some growth strategy for them. And kind of through that, I started doing some consulting for them. So I was kind of 40 hours a week, really more than 40 hours a week. But, you know, I had my day job at Google. And then nights and weekends, I was consulting for Case Tabs and just kind of working on their growth strategy throughout the year. And then later that year, you know, I met with their investors and their board. We started talking more about kind of what it would look like to come on full time and really drive growth forward, and eventually decided to come on board. And, you know, we were working on our growth. And then, you know, we got a fortunate call from Bain Capital, and they were really interested in what we had going. And they wanted to acquire Case Tabs and merge us with another company in the healthcare space called HST Pathways. That provides practice management solutions. So everything from kind of insurance and billing and patient records for surgery centers and some hospitals. And it really kind of gave an end-to-end solution between scheduling and all the patient records. And at the end of 2020, we merged and had a really awesome experience kind of going through that merger and selling the company to Bain. And now I get to lead marketing and strategy for the merged company. And we've got a really exciting plan for the future in ways that we want to impact healthcare. So it's been kind of a crazy whirlwind of a 2 years to kind of have all that happen and have all the projects come together. But, you know, a lot of that is a part of the plan and work for kind of how I want to accelerate my career.
All you got to do is work for Google and punch an alley-oop. Good.
Exactly. In that order.
So, you know, one big question to all, I think all of us are looking to manage better in this world is, how do you keep balance in your life? So what are some things that you do as you move through this accelerated pathway? Because I know you joked about 40 hours, but I'm highly dubious you were anywhere close to 40 at Google.
Yeah.
Assuming that, you know, the tech world is the tech world and we all kind of live some form of it. How do you manage that? Consulting, living your life, you know, finding time for yourself, finding time for your fitness and your health and your just downtime.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two perspectives I kind of always have on this question. And, you know, I'll kind of give you both sides of the coin there. So on the one side, you know, I think that in terms of kind of finding that balance, it's, you know, you got to be able to just set a dedicated time to doing things. And I'm really big on kind of building out a schedule around my life. And if you don't, you know, it's easy to get caught up just not taking advantage of that free time. So, yeah, like I said, I'm an avid basketball player. I'm constantly kind of just trying to get out there and do that. And then, I've been cycling since I was in college. So, you know, I dedicate time just throughout my week to just a couple hours a day that I can go do that, and manage that. And my fiance would love for me to be able to give more time. But you know, I think there's a ton that's going on, so I'm always trying to make that happen. So that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin, one of my favorite authors and professors, Scott Galloway, he has a perspective on this where he says, you know, there's no such thing as work-life balance if you want to have impact. And he's of the perspective that in a certain phase of your career, you're just all in on that mission. You're spending all your time on trying to hit that goal. And when you spend all your time trying to hit that goal, you'll reap the benefits of that down the line, where kind of in that second half of your career, you'll not only have those achievements, but you'll have the time to do all those things that you enjoy. So it's always kind of two sides of the coin. I think that You know, I like to believe I have work-life balance and I manage my time, but then I tell you, you know, like I go to a 9 to 5 and that's not really a 9 to 5. It's more like a 6 to 7. And then I get out of work and then I do more work. So it's like, I'd love to tell people that, hey, I balance my time and I make sure I have these slots for fun. But a lot of it is like, I'm really focused on trying to have this really big impact. And then I squeeze in some enjoyment here and there.
Do you, I mean, we're getting a little personal here, right? But do you want to have a family one day?
I do. And that's a big part of why for me, it's like, you know, making some of these things happen right now so I can make that happen. I mentioned I'm engaged and it's important to us to, you know, eventually have kids and kind of make time for them. I'm probably going to be the overly involved dad. So
helicopter dad.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like to get to that point, I'm trying to make a couple things happen right now so that those doors are open for me.
Well, dude, you're making it happen. And I'm thinking about what that professor and author told you. It's about that phase, like the career phases. And I know something that you're really passionate about is identifying those phases, speaking to the phases, manifesting the phases, and then living those phases. What are those phases for you?
Yeah. So this is something that I'm super passionate about in terms of kind of those career phases. And, you know, I've used the word career acceleration a couple of times, but I really look at it as kind of a, you know, philosophy, almost a life program. And when I think about career acceleration, there's kind of three key phases that I think about. And the first one is what I call finding your superpower. And that's one of the single most important parts of anyone's career is figuring out what are you good at. You know, there's kind of a famous quote where it says, you know, if you put value into the world will put value into you. And, you know, taking that time early in your career to find your superpower is just a super necessary thing. And, you know, I look at that as really kind of take the time to treat the early part of your career like a series of internships. You're going places, you're working, you're trying to learn. Your goal is not to be there and get tenure. Your goal is to be there and to learn and to absorb as many skills as possible so you can figure out what you're great at. So that's kind of phase one, is finding that superpower. And then
just to interrupt before phase two.
Yeah.
It's such a different mindset than our parents, right? So, and then their parents' parents. You go somewhere, you get the gig, you're there for 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how you... That was like, I've made it. I've done it.
Yeah.
I am steadfast to this for 30 years, 20 years, whatever it is. Total.
Well, there were pensions. Like that used to be the thing, right? There's structural forces that affected that behavioral shift.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So part of it, I think, is this idea of loyalty. You know, loyalty to a company. You got to be loyal to me. You know, you'd be there 10, 20, 30 years. You're a loyal employee. Where loyalty to me is I'm going to bring my full self. I'm not going to tell you how long it's going to be, but today you're getting my full self.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think there's, you know, there's lots of thoughts on what it means to be a company, to be an organization, a team. Lots of people talk about their company as a family, and there's some truth to all of that. But I think in that frame of loyalty and kind of your role in a company, everyone's got a skill and you're there to do a job. And I think Netflix kind of popularized that concept of the team at work. And everyone is, you know, some people are LeBron James and we need you to do a little of everything and kind of lead everyone. But some people are, you know, I don't know how familiar your listeners are with basketball, but there's guys like JJ Redick, who is he's a known 3-point shooter and his job is to be kind of a hired gun. He comes in, his job is to simply score points, hit threes, and that's it. And I think in every company, in a sense, everyone's got a role and you've got a job to do. And some people's jobs have kind of a broader reach and they're, you know, they kind of have a wider spectrum in terms of what they impact. And some people are a bit more narrow, but it's like in that vein, you shouldn't look at your career or your job in terms of like, hey, I need to be loyal and be here forever and do all these things. Like you're there to help that team accomplish a goal. And, you know, it's like, your loyalty is to that goal in a sense. And, you know, and you're working towards that. So I think that's kind of the key part in that phase one is thinking in that sense.
So I know we're only in phase one and we don't want to pause here too much, but, you know, I'm sure some people out there are saying, you know, I don't think I'm through phase one yet. And I don't know if it's necessarily dependent upon career maturity or whatever it may be, but if somebody's stuck, when it comes to finding their superpower, what advice would you have for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things I think was helpful for me early on is, I've been kind of a serial entrepreneur, and some of that is just in the interest of like trying to create something. But a lot of that has been, there's been tons of things that I've been interested in. And I think when I was younger, it wasn't super clear to me like, hey, this is the thing I think I can do really well for any company in the world. So a lot of times what I recommend to people is that, you know, you might be at a company, you might be working on a certain thing. And sometimes at companies, once you're known for, you know, if you're the guy that's, you know, a designer or you're an accountant, people think of you in that vein, and it's sometimes hard to break out of that mold. And, you know, what I've done through my career is I've always kind of had other projects that I've worked on outside of just my day job. And that's been a lot of what's contributed to some of the serial entrepreneurship part. But, you know, it's like, if you take the time and just go build something or go put something out there or go work on something, if you're by day you're an accountant and maybe you want to break into design or you want to see if that could be your skill, then it's like, start putting something out there, put that out there to the world, let people get a chance to see you doing that thing, and you start building a track record for that. And it's, that's kind of an easy way to do that without totally upending your life. I think sometimes I've been kind of aggressive in terms of, you know, I wanted to do consulting. So like I made a point of like getting consulting jobs, and I wanted to be in product management. So I made a point of going out and getting into product management, and I wasn't tied down to the idea that I think a lot of people are scared of, oh man, what if I'm at this company only for 1-2 years? And it's like, the reality is like, you're always going to be able to tell the story the way you want to tell the story. People can look at it and say that, you know, it's 1 year or 2 years, but it's like, if you feel stuck and you want to find the right superpower, go get a job doing those things, go try those new things. And if you're successful at something and you identify that superpower, you're going to have so many more opportunities down the line that it won't matter to people how long you were at those initial places where you were figuring it out.
So what is your superpower?
So yeah, that's a great question. Every time I give these kind of things, people ask me, you know, like what do I think is my superpower? And I think the thing that's been kind of the most impactful for me in the area that I've been able to drive things forward has mostly been in strategy. And that's kind of been where I've led my career to this point. I think when I think about strategy, you know, the early on, you know, I was in consulting and product management, and I was, you know, kind of thinking about things like, you know, maybe it's the storytelling aspect. I'm really good at kind of explaining or communicating it. And, you know, but I realized like a lot of what's worked is the fact that I've been able to identify, you know, look at a situation and be able to figure out, you know, one, what's the current state? Two, where do they want to go? And three, how do I help them get a plan to get there? And that's helped me, you know, in kind of all of my career. And I think strategy comes in different formats, but I think that's really been my strength, my superpower along the way.
Since 2008, Bottle Rocket has been helping companies acquire more, engage deeper, and grow faster than their competitors. Industry leaders like Southwest Airlines, Chick-fil-A, MoneyGram, and Frito-Lay trust Bottle Rocket to provide business strategy, product management, experience design, product growth, and technology services that drive business results and solve unmet customer needs. To learn more about Bottle Rocket and subscribe to the newsletter, visit BottleRocketStudios.com. So hit us with phase two.
Yeah. So in phase two, you know, that's what I call blue chip success. And, you know, the idea behind blue chip success is that, you know, what you're really trying to do at this point is that if you figured out your superpower, you've gone through kind of that series of career internships, you now want to go somewhere and demonstrate that. And blue chip success can come in different formats. Sometimes it could be that, you know, you take that skill and you're in a certain role for a large organization. So, being a product manager at a company like Google is a very hard place to get into and to be successful at. And, you know, being able to lead a really large project there, that could be an example of blue chip success. You know, maybe you're working on a project, and I know I have some friends who are really in design and advertising, and they've worked on, you know, massive projects like the commercials, Super Bowl commercials for Doritos. And, you know, and that's had a huge impact on the business, and they're able to look back and kind of point that out as a singular moment in kind of their career portfolio. That's, hey, this is my blue chip success. I drove this forward. I created this value. I've got a ton of friends who are entrepreneurs who have built companies and kind of they've sold companies. And for them, that's their blue chip success, that they can say, I am great at this particular space of being a leader or an entrepreneur. And I was able to show that through, you know, growing a company and creating tons of value for millions of users and selling that company. So it can come in different formats, but that's how I really look at blue chip success. And I think in my career to this point, you know, when I first got to Google, I was kind of thinking this might be my blue chip success, but I think getting to work with the Casetabs team and building that company more and growing it very quickly and getting that point to where we can, you know, we got to sell it off to Bain and kind of have a larger impact from there. I look at that now as kind of my blue chip success.
Is that a reference to Intel? No. The blue chip?
I mean, it's kind of become a pop culture term at this point, but
see how detached I am from pop culture. Good night. All the listeners are like, okay, yeah, listen to that guy.
Tony just learned that Intel was a blue chip.
All right, now hit us with phase three.
Yeah, so phase three is what I call building a legacy, and I think in phase three, you know, this is the part that's probably the most complex and difficult to define for everyone, because the impact that we want to have on the world varies by person, and everyone's got a different scope of impact and a different audience that they want to have a legacy with. But, you know, to really kind of give it a framework and standardize it, when I think about building a legacy, it's your ability to have a measurable, large impact on a certain industry or market, or ideally the world. And, you know, that can come not only from what you're doing professionally, but also things that you're doing personally. So, you know, I don't know that I can truly say like, hey, like I'm in phase three, it's all about legacy for me at this point. I think I still have a lot of runway left on in terms of my goals or on my blue chip successes. But, you know, things that I've started to do at this point, you know, I have a new endowment that's launching this year at my alma mater, Texas Tech. So it's a scholarship endowment that's the Akinsupe Family Foundation scholarship. Yeah, and it's something I'm really proud of. It's something I've been saying for years that I've wanted to do, and I'm doing it in partnership with the College of Engineering at Texas Tech. And I went to school there, got my degree in engineering. So now to be able to have an endowment there that's going to give scholarships to students for generations to come, and in particular, you know, I come from an immigrant family. We had very humble beginnings, so to be able to have that kind of impact on kids, that's something that's just, it's super important to me, something I've always wanted to do. So I think that's an example of how you can kind of build your legacy and, you know, opening doors for others. And then, you know, with what we're doing at HST, I feel like we're having a huge impact on the healthcare industry. And I'm hoping that, you know, through what we're doing, we not only make it just better for, you know, for physicians, but also for patients to have the best kind of patient experiences. And a lot of times when someone goes in for a surgery, they just want to be able to walk again. They want to be able to use their shoulder again. They want to be able to live a normal life. So creating software that is having an impact on physicians and patients, I think is just something that can help me to hopefully have the kind of legacy that I've always dreamed of.
A lot of this thinking is stolen in the best way. I mean that in a loving way, right? I mean that in the way of like, as a fellow consultant, right? We go out and we take the best and we put it all together into a folder and we deploy it where it makes sense. Yeah. So I'm sure a lot of people here are like, I like these phases. I like these three elements. I want to steal that myself. And if they were to be thinking that, what books would you encourage them to read to learn a little bit more and to guide some of their thinking so they can form their own notion of what this three-phase framework means to them?
Yeah. So, that's a great question. And there's, you know, there's a number of books that I would recommend. I've kind of been an avid reader. I can't say that, hey, here's one book or two books that are going to tell you everything on your career, but I think to kind of give you guidance on, you know, ways of thinking about your impact, ways of thinking about success. I can recommend a few that have been impactful for me. So the first one, that I kind of recommend to everyone is Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. Malcolm Gladwell's fantastic writer, researcher, journalist. I mean, he's everything in terms of just kind of giving a good perspective on some of these unique moments in life and in the world. And I think he gives a good perspective on success and kind of the things that impact people's success. So highly recommend Outliers. Another book that I read last year that was actually really fantastic. So Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, founder of Nike. That's a fantastic book. That's, you know, it's kind of a series of his memoirs in terms of his life, but I think it gives people a perspective on what it took to build something that great. And I think it's not just about the business side of it, but I think his ideas of pursuit and kind of ambition and the way that, you know, when he first even had the idea for it, you know, it was something that without spoiling the book for your listeners, it's something he had while he was in a master's program. And a lot of people kind of laughed him out of the room. And he had a very strong ambition. There were lots of people who wanted to be involved at, you know, at certain points, and people who kind of, you know, lost interest, and he stayed focused on that goal and created something that's had a huge impact on the world. And I think his legacy is very real and tangible. So I think that's a great one to recommend. Another one that I would also recommend, Bob Iger, his book, The Ride of a Lifetime, it's kind of his entire career. So for anyone who doesn't know Bob Iger, he is, you know, he recently retired as the CEO of Disney. And he actually has a career story that's kind of, to some extent, kind of the counter approach to my strategy, I guess, in terms of how to accelerate it very quickly. He rose quickly in that organization, but funny enough, kind of out of college, he only worked for one company. And, you know, he, in kind of the truest sense, started out almost like in the mailroom and then eventually became the CEO of Disney, and didn't exactly happen in that path, but he is someone I would say, you know, had a really interesting career, and his path to it, he stayed really focused in terms of being ambitious. And, you know, he's very humble in telling his story, but, you know, you don't become the CEO of Disney by, you know, waiting for someone to give it to you. So that's those are a couple I'd really recommend.
A thought just occurred to me. The new mailroom is the dorm room, right? So the odds of you starting in a mailroom and then becoming CEO are so slim now, but what we have at our fingertips and the new mailroom is the dorm room for you to create and you to grow and you to hopefully one day sell or at least make a good living. It's at our fingertips, you know, and that's very interesting and compelling to me.
The internet did that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So we have a lightning round.
Awesome.
We're going to ask you to define three words with only using one word.
Oh man.
Yeah. And then we're not going to touch it. We're just going to let it sit and simmer. And then people will just think about it for the rest of their lives.
And they'll email you and hit you up on LinkedIn, and you'll have to answer your questions in greater depth.
Okay. All right, so
I can do.
Peter, you do the first and third. I'll do the.
Okay. Define ambition.
One word.
Yeah.
You do you. Would be Tony's much stricter about the rules.
I'm like a stern taskmaster.
Ambition, one word. This is probably a cliche one, but I'll say drive.
Okay. Yeah. Get it. I get it. Okay. Yeah. In one word, define risk.
Ooh, risk in one word. I'll say cost. And cost, not in the sense that most people are probably thinking of, like, you know, just dollars, but everything in life comes at a cost. And you know, when you pursue something, you got to be able to understand what the cost is.
I dig it.
Damn, that's true. Okay. You know, I'm thinking back to one of our previous guests, but define strategy.
I'll say path.
There it is. The lightning round. Three words, three answers.
No, happy to do. I like this.
But we do, of course, have one final question that we ask every guest. But before we get to it, where do you want people to connect with you, find you?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously LinkedIn, Twitter, and pretty much any social platform. You can find me on there at Reach Raphael. So just you know, anytime people want to connect with me, they're always like, how can I get a hold of you? And it's like, if you want to shoot me an email, it's just reachrafael@gmail.com. And if you want to find me on social, just @reachrafael. And, you know, later this month, actually, I have a new personal website that's launching with a lot of the, a lot of just my material, my blogs, and a lot of this concept around career acceleration that'll be live on rafaelakinsby.com. So I'll be sure to make sure they put a link to that in the show notes.
All right. Now, so the final question we ask every guest is, what non-digital object or thing means the most to you or has impacted your life the most and why?
Non-digital object that has impacted my life the most. Yeah, I'll give a kind of unique answer here. So I would say the newspaper. Oh, and cool. The reason for that, so when I was really young, I was a paper boy at a paper route. That was like my first job ever. And so I spent a lot of time reading newspapers, sorting newspapers, bagging newspapers, and distributing them. And it was, you know, it was a cool experience, I guess, in terms of, hey, it's your first job and you're, you know, it's not the hardest job in the world. But it was a tough job in many senses. You know, you had to be up early, you had to go to tons of neighborhoods, and I could tell you delivering newspapers to apartment complexes, not very fun. But it also just gave me the sense of ambition for what I wanted my life to be and what I didn't want my life to be. And it's no knock on anyone who has a paper route or anything like that, but more so, you know, as that being my starting point, it was something where I knew that I wanted to make sure that I put myself and my family in a position to have some economic security. And I think that the newspaper from that route and from what I read was incredibly impactful on who I was at that point, being, you know, I think I started when I was probably like 13 or something, you know, helping out there. And yeah, so the newspaper, probably the single most impactful in, you know, non-digital object.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Rafael, gotta say, Tony started off saying he worked with you anywhere. We miss you.
You guys.
It's always been so much fun working with you. And I think, you know, just to give our listeners a peek behind the curtain, we're still just real people doing real digital strategy work. And that's what the three of us worked on together. Yep. And we had to work through a tremendous amount of unknowns. And I have moments that I think back to exact moments where the three of us actually changed things. And then years later, we can see the result of how that strategy materially affects hundreds of thousands of people. And it's super cool. So for all of our guests, we really appreciate you coming in, spending some time with us. It's awesome to see you. So glad things are going so well. And looking forward to phase three.
Yeah.
When you say phase three is ready, we're excited.
Well, thank you guys for having me. You guys are too kind. I appreciate all the great words. I miss working with you guys. And, you know, hopefully we'll all get a chance to work on something again together soon. So thank you guys so much. Thank you to your listeners as well.
Kumbaya.